seniors. Americans seem to be taking better care of their teeth. A new government report shows the number of children between the ages of 6 and 19 who had a cavity or filling in their permanent teeth between 1999 and 2002 fell by 15%. Overall, tooth decay among adults was down between 4 and 6%. Dennis Martin reporting, USA Radio Network News.
Then take him, son. Sure, he's a Great Dane, meaner and 100 pounds heavier than you. Sure, he's strong enough to tow an SUV, but you're a Peterson, and at 4, you're a man. So take Bullet's chain and wrap it around your wrist twice.
Like this?
I use both hands, but hey. Now show him who's boss. Let him know who's top of the food chain.
But I'm afraid I could get hurt.
I'm afraid I don't understand. Just keep him away from that cat.
Come on, boy.
Mark, do you know anything about an edged, a color that's supposed to be on the day?
A what?
Do you know anything about a man named A-N-J-A-D, Atala?
Never heard of him.
Okay, he's Atala Corey, and he's scheduled to be on today.
Not today. I might have him on another day.
Okay, I don't have any information on him either. Okay, I'll give him Corey's information. Call him.
Yeah, that's fine.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the TalkStar Radio Network. For the finest and informative and interactive talk radio programming, it's the TalkStar Radio Network, available live via your local radio station and on the Internet at TalkStarRadio.com. Your feedback is important to us. Email us at TalkStarRadio.com.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. Washington is in deep recess. They take the entire month of August off. But there are a number of issues that don't get discussed much in Washington when there's no bill pending or law pending. And I thought I'd talk about an issue that, well, is always sort of out there. It's an issue everyone knows about, but maybe not too many people discuss. It happens to be the largest moneymaker on the Internet. And yet it has opponents from radical left-wing feminist Catherine McKinnon to radical right-wing Christian ministers who believe that it should be banned not just for children, but for adults as well. I'm talking about pornography, and no, I don't plan to give the details on the show. This is not Howard Stern. I'm talking about it as a matter of law. Should adults be allowed to view adult pornography? Is this something that's bad? Is it a sin? Should it be banned by law? My guest today is Robert Peters, and he is the president of an organization called Morality and Media. And that organization is dedicated to fighting against obscenity. Mr. Peters, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Thanks for having me.
Let me ask you this. I want to know how to address you. Are you a minister or not?
No, I'm the president of Morality and Media and came here as a staff attorney many years ago, so I'm not a clergyman.
That's fine. Then we are both attorneys, and I could just address you as Mr. Peters. Mr. Peters, tell me about your organization and what you're trying to accomplish.
Well, in brief, we were founded way back in 1962 in New York City as a neighborhood organization, and as I put it, what sparked the formation of the organization was the discovery that some sixth-grade children had gotten their hands on sadomasochistic pornography. And as I often say with a tongue partially in cheek, back in 1962, even in New York City, that was a shocking thing. And the result of it was that a group of clergymen, a Catholic priest, an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, and a Lutheran pastor, soon to be joined by an Orthodox Greek priest, formed this neighborhood organization called Operation Yorkville. And excuse me, this was long before my time, but I've often wondered why four clergymen getting together, and they concluded that what most needed to be done was to enforce laws against obscenity, which were quite different back then than they are today. But that really has been our primary focus over the decades, to get laws on the books, obscenity laws, at the federal and state level enforced. And we have a second concern with standards of decency in the mainstream media.
Well, Mr. Peters, let me ask you this. I think that you will find the great majority of Americans will agree with you that this is not, pornography is not something for children. There should be no child pornography, and there should be restrictions against children viewing pornography. I don't think you'll find much dispute there. But it seems to me, correct me if I'm wrong, your organization would go farther and ban certain things for adults. Am I correct?
Well, I tell you, there have been laws, obscenity laws, on the books in this country in some shape, form, or fashion since before we had a constitution. And the earliest obscenity case was way back in, you know, the early 1800s, you know, 1806, 1807, a Pennsylvania state Supreme Court upheld a conviction on obscenity. And I think the first obscenity laws was passed, I believe the first law was passed in 1840. Other laws were passed in 1860, and off and on over the decades since, you know, laws have been amended, added, etc. And the Supreme Court has repeatedly upheld obscenity laws, which don't, you know, contrary for better and worse, obscenity laws, even if vigorously enforced, would not result in a ban on all pornography. The way the Supreme Court has drawn the obscenity line since 1973 is that obscenity laws can only be enforced against what the court described as hardcore pornography. So even if the government gets down to business and starts putting hardcore pornographers in jail, there's still going to be a lot of pornography out there. And I'll tell you, even, you know, there's still going to be hardcore pornography available because no matter how hard the government works, no matter how successful they aren't going to succeed in getting rid of all pornography. So, and I don't mean this too sarcastically, but, you know, your listeners who think porn's great want to be able to see it, they will still be able to see it even if I have my way.
I understand that, but I'd like to understand your way. First of all, I think you'd be the first to agree with me that just because the law has been around since 1806 doesn't make it a good law. We certainly had slavery and denial of women's right to vote and all kinds of things back in the 1800s. So I think you can agree with me that just because a law is 200 years old doesn't mean it's justified, right?
I mean, no, I would agree, but, you know, back in 1957, which was the first time the Supreme Court dealt with the obscenity issue, believe it or not, none other than Justice Brennan, who at the time, you know, wrote the opinion in the Roth versus California case, and he... In upholding obscenity laws, he pointed out that at that time, back in the 50s, you know, virtually every nation had laws against pornography. Now, contrast that with the alcohol situation.
Well, Mr. Peters, I need to interrupt you.
We were probably the only nation
right.
that attempted to ban it.
I need to interrupt you because we're going to a break. Mr. Peters, if I just interrupt you, we're going to a break. I want to invite our listeners to join in the discussion as well. It's easy to do. You just pick up the phone and dial 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. I'm not saying pornography is a good thing, but in my view, it kind of is like alcohol. Most people don't go crazy and wild because of it. A few do. That doesn't mean that all of us shouldn't be able to, I don't know, have a vice now or then that for most of us doesn't harm anyone. But I'll hear from Mr. Peters, and I'll hear from you right after these messages.
Sleepless nights, agonizing days. Don't let the stress of heavy credit card debt ruin your life or the ability for you to get a good job. Take action. Call Debt Relief of America. They are professional, proven debt negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt. Credit card companies make it hard for the average American to get out of debt. High interest rates and late fees keep you in a never-ending cycle of debt prison. Debt Relief of America helps you break free by wiping out up to 60% of your credit card debt using secret programs most credit card companies don't want you to know about.
I was buried in debt with no way of knowing how I was going to get out. DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-509-5495. 800-509-5495. One call could literally save you thousands of dollars. Not available in all states. 800-509-5495.
Okay, everybody, let's play Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? We'll start with Trenise from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Wait, hold on. I didn't say I wanted to volunteer.
Ah, but you will, Trenise, because we know how much you can't stand your little brother.
That's true.
So, we're giving you a little sister.
A what?
And here's your bratty little brother to tell you more.
You know you always wanted a little sister instead of me?
Yeah.
Well, you can get a little sister when you volunteer in the Big Brother Big Sister program down at the community center.
Yeah.
On to teensvolunteer.org and join us next time for another episode of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine, and we're talking today about pornography. No, not in the Howard Stern way. You will hear nothing like that on this broadcast, but in a legal way between two lawyers. I am a lawyer, and my guest is also a lawyer. His name is Robert Peters, and he is the president of Morality and Media. You can find the link to his organization, media.org. You can certainly link there and see what he's trying to do there. He's trying to enforce national obscenity laws. Now, we had a discussion before the break where Mr. Peters was talking about the way the laws were in the past or whether other countries had the laws. And I guess I have to tell you, Mr. Peters, I don't find that time or other people having things that persuasive. I mean, I'm sure the Netherlands has far less restrictions on pornography than we do, and the Taliban had more restrictions, but I'd rather live in the Netherlands than Afghanistan. I guess I'd like to hear from you why.
It doesn't matter what I personally think, have my way, even if I wanted it. So pretty much, I have, you know, I at one level, the Supreme Court, the obscenity definition for about 15 years, and pretty much making a total mess of it, modified three-part test. To, in the Supreme Court's words, to isolate sexual material, not exactly, I better be careful with that, but to isolate sexual material that isn't protected by the First Amendment. And at one point in this case, the court equated that category of material with hardcore pornography.
What now, is the definition of hardcore pornography? What is it?
Well, in order to be hardcore pornography, for one thing, you've got to have... well, I mean, for the most part, you know, I'll tell you what, typical pornography, whether it's a magazine, a video, a depiction after sex, of sex after the other. You know, if you walked into a bookstore, a dirty bookstore in quotations in New York City, and you looked at the magazines, the video, you'd see a hardcore sex act on the front cover, the back cover, and virtually every page or scene in between. That's probably the 80 to 90% of what we're talking
about. Okay, well, Mr. Peters,
hardcore pornography.
I'm actually not a big fan of hardcore pornography. I'll be the first to tell you that. There's lots of vices I don't have. I don't particularly drink a lot. I do like to gamble from time to time with small amounts of money. I guess I should admit that. But my question is, what is the harm if one of my fellow Americans, an adult, wants to go to an adult bookstore, purchase sex acts because literally they get off on it? How does that harm our society? Why should it be banned?
Well, I tell you, you know, answer to that is that for many people, pornography becomes an addiction. And I've seen some pretty, you know, in terms of getting up to, you know, I've seen a couple of different places, and I'm not in a position to verify it, that 10% of the adult population in the United States are sex addicts. And I can almost guarantee you that 99% of them, whatever their particular focus of addiction is, it includes pornography.
Now, okay, well, let me ask you this. I mean, we have alcohol addiction by maybe 10% of the population. We certainly have gambling addiction by a percentage of the population. Would you also ban alcohol or gambling, or is pornography somehow different from these other two vices that most Americans enjoy in small quantities but not in large quantities?
Well, I tell you, for alcohol, I think that the bottom line is that a minority of people who believe that all drinking was wrong succeeded in banning all alcohol. Now, I don't think most Americans agreed with the assessment that for someone to take a sip of alcohol was, in quotations, a sin.
But for an alcoholic...
Some people believe that and still believe that.
But,
I don't drink at all, but
Mr.
Peters,
believe
that all drinking is a sin. So some, you know, with alcohol, basically a minority of the American people succeeded in passing a law that banned all alcohol.
But Mr. Peters,
now,
let me...
Keep in mind with gambling, and I'll stop after that,
yeah,
let you get in.
Go ahead.
Is that, you know, up until quite recently, with the exception of Las Vegas, almost all gambling was banned in this country, and part of what opened the door to all the gambling we have now was some idiotic court decision that concluded that Indian reservations could somehow have a right to open up gambling. And so we've got these casinos all over the place, and gambling isn't our focus at Morality and Media, but in part because it is an addiction for many people, I keep up on it. And I'll tell you, I don't see many people saying a whole lot good about this explosion of gambling in the United States. Most people, and they ain't all religious folks, are talking about the harms that gambling is causing. So, you know, does that mean we should ban all of it? And again, I go back, for better and worse, the Supreme Court hasn't banned all pornography. And for, you know, personally, I'm not trying to get a law passed that will ban it, because in part, I don't think, you know, at this point in our world's history, the American people would go along with a total ban on pornography. But I do believe they would support enforcement of obscenity laws against this hardcore stuff.
Well, Mr. Peters, I don't mean to, I certainly won't mention any names. I have a family member, a cousin, who is an alcoholic. And let me tell you, for an alcoholic, a sip of alcohol is an extreme danger. In fact, my understanding of alcoholism is that it's more dangerous for an alcoholic to have a sip of alcohol, a severe alcoholic, than even cocaine or some really severe, awful drugs. For a very small group of people, alcohol is extremely dangerous. I certainly think for a small group of people, gambling is extremely dangerous. You know, William Bennett lost $6 million. Other gamblers have lost their entire life savings. And I will concede for you that for a very small group of people, hardcore pornography is dangerous to them. But I guess my general point is, and we have to go to break, so I'll give you all the time to think about it when we come back. But my general point is, when do you ban something that is harmful to less than 10% of the population? Now, we can argue, maybe it's 1% or 5%. I think you'd agree it's less than 10%. When do you restrict other people's freedoms who aren't harming anyone with this material that, you know, I'm not a fan of, and clearly you're not? When do you restrict their freedoms to protect the very small minority to whom it's a big danger? I want you to wait to answer that till after the break. If you want to join in, folks, you can enter this debate, agree or disagree with either me or Mr. Peters or both of us. Just call in 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. We'll be right back after this.
I know you've heard me talk about Margie Garrison, the arthritis lady, but have I told you about the time she was thrown out of an arthritis convention for telling the truth that most arthritis sufferers attending that convention didn't need the expensive and maybe dangerous drugs and treatments they were being sold? Man alive, did they hustle her out of there, pronto? This might not work for absolutely everybody, but if you get Mrs. Garrison's program and give it a try for a year and it doesn't end up ending most of your pain, ask for your money back. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. That's H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. See what the doctors are saying about Mrs. Garrison's program and if this works for you or a member of your family.
If you've got kids, chances are sooner or later you're going to need dental help. And when you do, I hope you'll remember 1995dental.com. 1995dental.com tells you how to save about 50% on braces for your kids, similar savings on other services. Because this isn't insurance, there is no waiting period, no exclusion, no claim forms to fill out. You get instant savings from tens of thousands of dentists coast to coast. Unlike a lot of insurance policies, this discount program covers cosmetic dentistry, bonding, and cleaning. For the individual, it's $11.95 a month. But for the entire family, everyone who lives under your roof, regardless of age or relationship, it's $19.95 a month. Hence our name, 1995dental.com. Type in the numbers 1995, then the word dental.com. 1995dental.com will save you.
from Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The discussion today is on pornography, and my guest is Robert Peters. He is the president of Morality in Media, which you can find at moralityinmedia.org. There's also a link from my website at radioinsidescoop.com. And I want to invite you to call in and join the debate. All you have to do is pick up the phone and dial 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255. Or if you want, you can comment right there on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. Now, I've been posing tough questions to Mr. Peters, but he's more than able to answer them. I asked him before the break about comparing pornography to other vices, alcohol and gambling, where a small minority abuse them, no question, but the great majority of people do not abuse them. And my question is, when do you ban something that is only abused by a small minority of its users?
Well, I tell you, I don't think it's true that, you know, that it's a small, well, relatively, I suppose it depends on how you look at a small minority. I think there is a very large number of people of all ages who are at one level or another hooked on pornography. And that doesn't mean that they're all, you know, addiction to me is a variable concept. And I think with the explosion of availability of pornography, the numbers of people who are addicted, who begin to have one type of problem or another because of pornography, is going to grow. But you know, one, I would tell you the vice that I think pornography has the most in common with, in my opinion, isn't alcohol or gambling. It's prostitution. And I'm sure you wouldn't have to. I don't mean this personally, but I'm sure you or any other radio host wouldn't have a very hard time finding a good number of people out there. And I can tell you, prostitution is quite popular in New York City, at least amongst the minority. But that would tell you that there's no consequence. You know,
well, but and prostitution,
to some extent, I probably would agree with them. But I think if you asked, I'll tell you, as liberal as New York is supposed to be,
yeah,
if we took a vote on it, we wouldn't vote to legalize prostitution in this city.
But prostitution, sir, I mean, prostitution involves another living, breathing human being. I mean, it's well documented that most women who enter prostitution do it because of poverty and not because, it, frankly, personally, and I'm sure we can disagree, if I truly believe that every person involved in prostitution was not there because they didn't have other life choices, but really there because they just enjoyed it, I'd have less problem with it. My problem with prostitution is prostitutes are invariably abused, the great majority are, by pimps. And this isn't a show on prostitution, but the point is that prostitution involves another human being, whereas pornography is used in the privacy, generally, of one's own home. And, you know, I mean, there are people that like alcohol too much that aren't alcoholics, that, you know, there are people that like to gamble. What is the harm of somebody who... You know, I'm not going to say it's a good thing, but what is the harm to society of someone who watches or views a lot of pornography? I'd really like to understand that.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, one thing I would say that, you know, if you follow what goes on in the adult entertainment industry, I will assume for the sake of argument, and probably it's true, that the average woman in pornography doesn't get abused as much as the average prostitute. But if you look behind the scenes of the Jenna Jamesons that, you know, the industry parades out and the mainstream media are more than happy to give that type of starlet, as much publicity as they possibly can give her, if you read behind the lines, you discover that in one sense, the women who create pornography are not treated much differently than prostitutes. But there's another aspect of it, which, you know, I mean, I sitting next to a pile of a file, you might call it, on the link between pornography and violent sexual crimes, which in my honest opinion is without question it's there.
You
said something about you know kind of like pornography is just this object. But, you know, most men, you know, I mean, it's only natural that most of us men will, at some point, you know, we will have a relationship with not just the pornography, but a real, live human being,
right,
most often a woman.
Right.
And what's going to happen, particularly for the guys that have been in it for a while, at bare minimum, what they're going to want to do with this woman, a date, a wife, a prostitute, whatever it is, they're going to want to act out what they've been fantasizing about in their pornography. Now, admittedly, some of them will be so fortunate or unfortunate, depending on your values, to find a woman who enjoys it. But I'll tell you, nobody knows this, but I would bet that for every guy that happens to run into a gal who likes to do the same thing he fantasizes about in pornography, 9 women don't like it.
Mr. Peters, we have to take another break. I apologize. As far as I'm concerned, it's sort of a chicken and an egg problem. It may well be true, I'm not sure, that people who view certain pornographic acts want to practice out on their girlfriends or boyfriends. It may also be true that someone who can't get a boyfriend or girlfriend to do some of these acts will watch it in pornography and be satisfied that way rather than acting in a violent way. I'm not sure. I want to hear from you. 877-528-TALK. We'll be right back.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida, earlier than expected. It's moving across the state now and will be in the Gulf of Mexico tomorrow. Former Major League Baseball star Dwight Gooden has surrendered to authorities in Hillsborough County, Florida. He's wanted for allegedly running from a DUI traffic stop. A Pentagon committee has decided it's time to close the Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C. A new Pentagon report says the environment at the Army and Navy academies makes sexual assaults more likely. The Bush administration is sending the director of Medicare on a tour of the country to make sure seniors know the new prescription drug coverage starts on the first of the year. On Wall Street today, the Dow closed up 16 points at 10,451. The NASDAQ advanced 5 points to 2134. And Martha Stewart's home confinement ends Wednesday, August 31st. More news at usaradio.com.
William Shatner here at the rental car pickup. Excuse me, miss, how did you choose this car?
I shopped around for the best prices.
Well, now you can do that on Priceline. Shop and compare before you buy. Now you can actually select the company, car type, or say you want a minivan.
Oh, nice. I'm not even married, and you're telling me to get a minivan? You're cool.
The new all-in-one Priceline. Shop, compare, save.
Whether you're a painting pro or a weekend warrior, step this way to your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store for our big annual Now your exclusive store for Warner Ladder Central and savings professional's choice in ladders. At Sherwin-Williams, you'll find everything you need, including 20% savings on all Warner ladders. Hurry, sale ends August 31st. Ask how. Ask now. Ask Sherwin-Williams.
This is USA Radio Network Business.
Our daily update from the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
The popular herbal antidepressant St. John's wort was suspected of interacting with a number of medications. Now a study in the Journal of the American Medical Association has confirmed that St. John's wort has a strong influence on an enzyme responsible for metabolizing nearly half of all prescription drugs. The herbal medicine speeds up the reduces the effectiveness of birth control lowering drugs and antihistamines. This research shows that many other medicines may also be affected. Anyone who's taking St. John's wort with another medicine should check with a physician or pharmacist to determine if the combination poses special risks. This is Terry Graydon with the People's Pharmacy on the TalkStar Radio Network.
More of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to Scoop with Washington still in recess. We're debating the issues that don't come up often in politics that much. And I am defending pornography. No, I'm not saying everyone should go do it. I actually think a lot of it's pretty disgusting. But I do think that American freedoms, if we can be allowed to do stuff in America, you can also join in the discussion by dialing 877-528-TALK, 877-528-8255, or by commenting on the blog at radioinsidescoop.com. I want to go to a caller now who bills himself as Dr. Freud from Michigan. Dr. Freud, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. I would like to interject a concept into this conversation, something called action breeds violence. And I would like to suggest that well-produced pornography can perform a redeeming psychosexual function, and some pornography can even be used in therapy. Yes, I am advocating the use of medicinal pornography.
Medicinal pornography. Is that because you think that some sexual predators might focus on the pornography rather than victims? Is that your argument?
And some pornography can even be used in therapy. Yes, I am advocating the use of medicinal pornography.
Medicinal pornography. Is that because you think that some sexual predators might focus on the pornography rather than victims? Is that your argument, Dr. Freud?
Well, I'm suggesting that the pornography itself can be a sexual release which will vent any possible violence that the predator might have and actually work to readjust him, depending on the quality of the pornography.
Let me hear from Mr. Peters on that. Go ahead,
well,
sir.
To my knowledge, many states specifically exempt the use of pornography in a therapeutic setting. Now, I'm not a therapist. I've met people who I respect who say that it does help. I've met other therapists who think it's not good or there's too much risk. But that's an exception to the law that I can live with. But, you know, the analogy is it's like, let's say you've got morphine, you know, and I think, you know, my father, you know, was helped on his deathbed by
who killed so many other children had been people who watched The Matrix, a movie The Matrix with black trench coats and lots of shooting. Now, I'm sure that's true. I don't doubt that The Matrix influenced those children to act in such a violent, awful, murderous way. And yet I also know that millions of human beings across the globe, including myself, have watched this movie and didn't run out to kill someone. How do you... I guess what I'm trying to get at is, how do you justify banning something where the great majority of people, it's a relatively harmless vice, or maybe you don't think it is for the great majority of people?
Well, I tell you, with the Matrix case, I think it's pretty safe to say to the nature of the work that I do, and you know, invariably, I think in virtually every case where there was a shooting, the kids were involved in some sort of what might be considered somewhat deviant culture.
Now, violent video games and things like that.
Yeah, violent video games, violent films. I saw one of the Matrix films. I didn't particularly enjoy it, but in part because it was fiction, you know, it wasn't like reality-type violence, you know, where you're out there cutting a real human being's throat with a weapon that's readily available. It was very violent. But
we have plenty of movies that do that. I mean, I guess my question is this.
And it actually had somewhat of a good-evil context which a lot of entertainment kids, it glorifies criminal violence instead of good guys against bad guys, which, you know, and it didn't involve street violence. So, you know, it weren't just influenced by the...
Mentally unstable. And don't you have to be a little mentally unstable for this kind of thing to affect you in this kind of an awful way?
Well, I tell you, you know, sometimes, you know, what is involved is a balance. You know, I mean, I live in an imperfect world, and I don't see it as my calling to try to create a perfect world. So, you know, oftentimes in society we have trade-offs. You know, we balance the value of speech against the potential for harm.
So where do you draw the line?
But as the value of speech declines and the risk of harm goes up,
fair enough,
the justification for society doing something about it gets greater.
Fair enough. Now, where would you draw the line? Where is morality and media's line, if you will?
Well, I tell you, again, I'm willing to live with the line that the Supreme Court attempted to draw in 1973 if prosecutors will enforce that
and
law.
What is that line again?
My thinking is if they don't enforce obscenity laws, there's no compromise.
Tell me exactly where the line is.
The industry wins. What's happening today.
Just so, because I'm not sure, frankly, I understand. I remember there was one Supreme Court case I learned in law school where one of the justices said, I know it when I see it, which obviously is one of the worst lines of all. I also know, by the way, I could tell our listeners that there's this pornography to determine whether or not it's legal or not. What is exactly the line, because I haven't seen it as a very clear one, that you think the Supreme Court has drawn?
Well, the definition that the Supreme Court has drawn in brief is that in order for sexual material to be obscene and therefore unprotected by the First Amendment, taken as a whole, a video, a magazine, it has to appeal to the prurient interest in sex. In addition to that, it has to depict hardcore sexual conduct, appeal to the prurient interest in sex. In addition to that, it has to depict hardcore sexual conduct in a patently offensive manner. And thirdly, taken as a whole, it has to lack serious artistic, literary, political, and scientific value. So
summary, if it appeals to the prurient interest, if it depicts hardcore sexual conduct in a patently offensive manner, and it lacks serious First Amendment value, communities can enforce laws against it. Now, to me, that definition is a huge compromise. And it's still, you know, as I say, even if the law were strictly enforced, there would still be a lot of sexual material out there that by almost anyone's definition would be considered pornographic that would be legal. So, I mean, I don't know. I came to the conclusion that shooting for perfection in this life was not a calling I wanted to accept. But, you know, so, I mean, my goal at one level is to maintain a level once pretty much when...
parents and churches enforce this morality, not the government. Dr. Freud, we have to take a break. Do you want to be on after the break? It's up to you.
Yeah.
Okay, stick around. I'll get right back to you, Dr. Freud. And also, if you want to call in, it's 877-528-TALK right here on the TalkStar Radio Network. We'll be right back after this.
Want to know how a bad toupee saved a young executive from baldness? Bobby started losing his hair in his 20s. He was athletic, strong, and had begun his family with his hair loss. So he tried a toupee. They promised it would look like real hair. What he got was itchy and unnatural. Then he decided to do research on hair loss. He found out he could get his own natural hair to grow back. He interviewed the doctors and other medical hair restoration clients, and he was amazed at the results. Now, for the happy ending, Bobby looks incredible. He says MHR changed his attitude in life. If you're losing your hair, don't spend a penny until you get the free interactive DVD from Medical Hair Restoration to learn about the natural options. See real life before and after pictures and get the full story on getting your real hair back. Call to order your free DVD now. There is no obligation. Call 800-936-2823. 800-936-2823. For an amazing free DVD, call now. 800-936-2823.
Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, the television show that America grows are yours for just the money-saving price if you order online from RetroTelevision.com. R-E-T-R. From Washington, back to the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Well, I'm not saying pornography is the greatest thing since sliced bread, but I think when you compare it to a lot of the ills society faces, it's not something that I consider a big problem. My guest couldn't disagree with me more. He is the president of Morality and Media. His name is Robert Peters, and he says at least enforce the obscenity laws that the Supreme Court has set up. At least enforce those against hardcore pornography. I've also got a caller on the line who bills himself as Dr. Freud. Dr. Freud, the floor is yours.
Well, obscenity certainly is in the mind of the observer, and certainly in Mr. Peters' mind. I would suggest to Mr. Peters that if he wants to continue his stand against pornography, that he should possibly change his name or worry about any nickname.
Don't go there, Dr. Freud. Don't go there. This is a family show.
Yes, but what I would like to suggest is that drawing a line on obscenity should be certainly a legal matter, yet you can define by the quality or the construct or the production of the pornography. To just say, well, prurient interest that we will define, or what is obscene we will define. Can there be a legal standard here?
Well, I would move it back. I don't support the current Supreme Court standard. As far as I'm concerned, I would ban pornography involving children or for children, and I would ban pornography anything that's illegal. In other words, there's some really disgusting things called snuff films, where actually someone can show a picture of someone killing someone else or raping someone else and then show that around. I think if the conduct is illegal, clearly you can ban filming it. I have no problem with that. But other than that, I guess I think that adults have to make choices in life, and they should be free in the free things that I wouldn't personally approve of. But Mr.
And I tell you, you know, it's an interesting, you know, the difference between an ideology, you know, and I don't know why communism comes to mind, but I guess in part because it gripped so many people during a period of our world history in the last century and, in my opinion, caused incalculable harm. But, there, you know, at least it was an idea that you could debate and discuss and whatnot. But, you know, pornography doesn't work that way. Pornography, it's kind of like it works at one level, at the animal level.
Right.
You know, I mean, dog in heat.
Absolutely.
React.
But so does a really good, unhealthy meal.
Two things. I mean, and, you know, maybe there's a little bit of common sense in this, is that most of us do react sexually to, you know, most of us to a human being of the opposite sex. Now, thankfully, I think most of us are glad we don't moment by moment come across, especially if we're married. If you turn around, there is an image talking, moving, acting sex acts of everything, at least some of which you're going to find attractive. And this is the kind of society we create for ourselves and also for our children, Ice. And somehow expect to keep kids away from it. It isn't going to happen. If half of parents are addicted to pornography, their children are going to be affected. I don't care what kind of laws you have to keep kids from purchasing it. They are going to be affected.
See, first of all, I don't think half of adults are addicted to pornography, but I guess my general view is that with most things in America or in a free country, you know, people can decide whether to use it or not. Part of being a mature human being, part of being an adult, is taking a possible vice and saying no, whether it's no to drugs or no to alcohol or no to gambling or no to pornography, most of which, when they're not done, are not that harmful, and adults have fun in, you know, adult playgrounds like Las Vegas. But then they come home and they're with their wife and kids and whatever, and they live mature lives. And it just seems to me that at the end of the day, I want this decision made by individuals and churches, and certainly, but not by the government.
Well, I mean, I suspect that you're also for legalization of all drugs, because
no, not all drugs
would clearly apply. And I you know, Ken,
I'll tell you how I did.
I would bet that for every person who fools around with cocaine, heroin, you know, for all the people that do that, the number of people who wind up on the street, you know, not, you know, robbing, and is a relatively small percentage.
I don't know if that's true, Mr. Peters.
Most of us would say we don't want to legalize heroin and crack because some Wall Street types manage to be very successful while they snuff heroin.
Yeah, I actually think that most people, and I've seen this damage myself, I think most people who do crack, who do cocaine, do end up in an awful situation. I would think the majority of users of these very hard drugs do end up in very, very bad situations, I don't think it's true of marijuana, which is why you're right. I would legalize marijuana, but I wouldn't legalize the hardcore drugs. I'm told if you take LSD, you can have flashbacks decades later. And so I do think it's a balancing test. And I guess on my balance, hardcore pornography is more like alcohol or marijuana and less like cocaine or crack. But I want to hear what you think.
Well, I tell you, my list of victims of pornography are the men and, you know, many of the men and women. In fact, as I'd even be so bold as to say, most of the men and women who help create these films, in the long run, it doesn't benefit them. So, and certainly there are, God, tragic cases of, you know, suicide, drug addiction, you know, the physical abuse that women take in particular in pornography. And then you move on to guys who would have otherwise lived a reasonably normal life, but they get hooked on pornography, and it either prevents them from ever entering into a normal relationship with a woman, or once they do, it's ended. Then you've got the women. We happen to lose an employee around here who've been here for several years, and we're kind of short on cash. So I've picked up some of the slack by answering the phones again. And I'm not exaggerating. In the last month, I have either spoken to or emailed four women whose marriages are destroyed. And
we have to take another break.
Women are concerned that the guy is interested in...
We have to take another break. I apologize. The NRA says guns don't kill people. People kill people. I would argue pornography doesn't commit sex crimes. People do. And we've got to teach people how to use it in, I don't know, moderation. We'll be right back.
It's bad
bad enough if you suffer asthma, but as a parent, the agony of watching your child struggling for breath must be agony beyond measure. What if there was a natural, effective, drug-free answer to asthma? You'd want to know, wouldn't you? Well, I've been reading up on a little-known clinical trial at a major hospital that suggests you can be rid of asthma, asthma symptoms, and sinus and allergy symptoms to breathe easily, calmly, and in a more natural, relaxed way. It's guaranteed, or you get your money back, and you've got 90 days to decide. Look it up for yourself online at healthstarproducts.com. H-E-A-L-T-H, healthstarproducts.com. You've got 90 days to decide if this program works for you. If it doesn't, you get your money back. Go to www.healthstarproducts.com.
Okay, everybody, it's time for another game of Who Wants to Volunteer in Your Community? Let's go to Ella in Santa Monica, California.
Hey, wait, I don't want to volunteer.
Well, I have a feeling you'll change your mind when you realize how much fun volunteering really can be.
But
in fact, Ella, we've asked your entire algebra class here to tell you more.
Wait, you did what?
Take it away, class.
Hey, Ella, we've been noticing you lately in algebra class.
You have?
I'm feeling some love here.
Yeah, and we were thinking that you should start tutoring people because you're all, like, smart and stuff.
I should?
Yeah, you free tonight?
Go for it!
I should.
They love you, Ella! Well, sounds like we have another happy volunteer.
That's me.
To find out ways you can volunteer in your community, log on to teensvolunteer.org and join us next time for another episode of Today. Do what you like to do. Volunteer. A public service message brought to you by the USA Freedom Corps, the U.S. Department of Justice, the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, and the Ad Council.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're talking about pornography, and it's a shame we only have a few minutes left because I'm really enjoying the discussion with Robert Peters, the president of Morality and Media. And a lot of you have written in on the blog and off it on emails. I want to read a few of those questions to you, give you my quick response, and hopefully get Mr. Peters' response as well. Here are the questions that were asked. Mark, do you think porn helps to fuel sexual predators? My view is that it does for some, and it might calm down others. I'd love to see studies on that. I'm asked, internet porn come into play in today's world? I have no problem saying that you shouldn't see porn, though again, I'd want to see studies to see whether more porn causes more crimes or less crimes. And lastly, has soft porn becoming the norm for our young people? I think there's nothing we can do about it. Soft porn is the norm. All you have to do is look at MTV and billboards. It's already there, and there's not much we can do about it within the First Amendment. That's my quick answers. Mr. Peters, take it away.
Well, last year in March, I wrote an article, The Link Between Pornography and Violent Sexual Crimes, which people can find by going to www.obscenitycrimes.org and click to the Porn Problems and Solutions page. That's www.obscenitycrimes.org, Porn Problem and Solutions page. Now, one point I make in that, you know, there's a section of this article on the cathartic effect, which particularly back in the 80s was a big argument for not, you know, banning or prescribing forms of pornography. Is it for some? If that were true, you know, with this explosion of child pornography, you know, particularly because of the internet, then what we should expect to see is a radical decline in adults who are at least attempting to sexually abuse children. And it may be true that the, you know, at one level, the crimes against children aren't exploding, but the main reason that's true is because you've got law enforcement people, state, city, federal, and international, out looking for these predators.
Mr. Peters, our time's almost out. I want to ask you a very quick question. Have sexual crimes, whether against children or rapes against women, have they gone radically up recently, radically down, or stayed about the same?
Okay, we have a police officer in New York City who's an expert on sexual crimes, and he just wrote an 800-page book on sexual homicide. From beginning to end, he talks about the role of pornography. Now,
is it higher or lower today?
In his opinion, the incidence of sexual crimes is increasing, but he can't verify that. But one thing he can verify is that the violence and the sickness in the crimes that take place is getting worse and worse, and he attributes it in significant measure, not totally, to pornography.
Okay, our caller, Dr. Freud, you got 30 seconds. Go.
I agree, Mr. Peters, that violence is the obscenity in our society, but as long as we can maintain a disconnect in our pornography between sex and violence and treat sexuality with its proper due in pornography, there is a function for pornography in the society.
And let me just read a comment by Skip on the blog. He writes, I guess pornography drove those Catholic priests to fondle the victimized children. It drove Jimmy Swaggart to have a fling with a prostitute. It drove the American military prison guards in Iraq to rape 12-year-old boys. And it drove Pat Robertson to promote political assassinations. Is the portrait of blood and guts murders every day on the tube perfectly okay with Mr. Peters? I think, Mr. Peters, you'd agree with Skip that that's pretty bad stuff, too.
Well, I tell you, I would disagree on the connection between pornography and Pat Robertson. But
I think he's joking.
Jimmy Swaggart and some of the others, it's probably there.
It may well be. Mr. Peters, I've really enjoyed this debate. I think we got a lot covered, even though we only had an hour. Thank you very much for coming.